listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
I want you to take your Bibles right now.
Mason and Nolan are going to help me here. We're going to move this over. We're going to get the podium in place. And I want you to take your Bibles. I want to say this morning, this church has a purpose going into 2025. And part of what I want to do this morning is help us get to where God wants us to go as a church. We are going somewhere. Can I put it that way? How many realize that if you were to take a road trip, let me put it that way, and you just kind of pointed your car to the outskirts of Aberdeen with no purpose, no aim, no direction, no plan for fuel, no plan for food, it would be a rather disjointed journey. How many know what I mean? Well, many people apply that kind of a standard to their spiritual journey. But God is strategic. And in 2025, we're going to move forth in the ways and the direction of God. And some of what that is going to require, I want to unpack for you this morning. The setting for the verse that I'm going to read for you is in a time of Israel's history when they were in captivity to the Persian Empire. The story is really about Esther. That's what I thought was significant about Anne's word, because she mentioned Esther. So I think if it doesn't mean anything to you, it simply means to me confirmation that what I'm about to share with you is what God wants to impart to us. In Esther's case, we see that she gets herself in deep trouble when it's revealed that she is a Jew and she is partial to the Jewish nation. Now, I need you to understand that ancient Persia is today's counterpart, Iran. How many know these two cultures do not mix? And here we find Esther, a Jew, queen of Persia. There is a lot of hostility coming forth on her behalf. The king himself, when the knowledge of that comes forth, distances himself from the queen. In Esther chapter 4 and verse number 16, here is what Esther comes forth with. She says, "Go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, and hold a fast on my behalf, and do not eat or drink for 3 days." How many can see Queen Esther is being somewhat strategic? She has a game plan. Don't eat, don't drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do, and then I will go to the king. She is about to make an appeal to the king on behalf of her Jewish family and nation, and literally for herself as well. And she says, "I will go to the king, though it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish." She's just laying out the whole deal on the table. She's thrown herself into the thrust of this national / international conflict. This morning, I want to use this verse and pull out a strategic game plan. One of the big things about this verse is she introduces a concept. And the concept is calling the people of God into a fast. So why fast? Why is that necessary? And what's that all about? I want to talk to you about fasting because later, as I said, later in this week, we're going to take 3 days. Esther said for 3 days, I'm saying for 3 days, are we able to, are we willing to fast on behalf of the direction of this house for the next 12 months? So I want to talk to you about that. To some, fasting might seem archaic. It's irrelevant. It's not suited for our present day and age. Just thinking about skipping a meal might make us think how hungry we really are. But fasting does something powerful. Fasting can ignite our hunger for God. And I'd like to suggest to you that our hunger for God needs to rise to a level much like Esther's hunger to do what was right for her people. And fasting is a good thing. The key word here is the word can. Fasting can ignite our hunger for God. But I need to say, fasting is not a magic fix either. You can fast for all the wrong reasons and for wrong ways and in wrong ways. God told the prophet Zechariah to deliver a message. And I'm going to read the message that God spoke to Zechariah to deliver to the people of Israel. God said this, say to all the people in the land and the priests, and when you fasted and mourned in the fifth month and in the seventh, for these 70 years. And by the way, the cause was noble. Israel was in captivity for a long, long period of time, 70 years. And the question God asks is this, was it for me that you fasted? The people fasted all night, but it wasn't for God. Their motive was wrong. They had their own selfish motivations, and God was not impressed with their fasting, nor was he impressed with their praying. So when we fast, the question is this, is it for him? How quickly can we warp the idea of fasting? Someone might say, yeah, fasting. That's how I'm going to get my weight down under control here, especially after Christmas, and how I overate. Another reason, fasting will help me stop wasting money on food. And it's possible to forego eating for a variety of reasons that have nothing to do with God. That's called dieting. And it really has no spiritual benefit. Some term fasting into a legalistic stick to beat other people up with or to measure their own spiritual superiority. This is the kind of thing that Jesus ran into with the scribes and the Pharisees, who liked to flaunt their spirituality and their ritual of fasting. However, when you fast, you may want some accountability, but it should be with a few select people that you can trust. Not to be overly impressed with your progress, but to keep encouraging you when you falter or you fail in your exercise of fasting. My wife is a great help when it comes to fasting in my life. Actually, she controls my diet during the fast too, so she's a big player. And we help each other get to where we need to go in fasting. Fasting can certainly be misplaced and misused. Maybe those are reasons. Maybe those are the reasons it's not been a healthy emphasis amongst believers. We wanting to avoid legalism. We may have forsaken the biblical teaching of fasting entirely. It's kind of like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. But I'd like to, this morning, help you. And let's survey some kinds of fasts described in the Bible. And this might help you later this week. Come Friday, come Saturday, come Sunday. So you're going to have the better part of a week to prepare, not only for prayer, but perhaps even for fasting. Let me talk to you about some of these fasts, if I may. Number one, there is what I'd like to call a normal fast. This is to abstain from food for spiritual purposes. This is a straight-up fasting exercise. While normal fasts often include avoiding specific beverages that can become habitual forming in your life, such as what? Coffee? Some of you are already shaking. Tea, carbonated drinks. Just saying. Fasting does not usually mean abstaining from water, though. You can live without food for a long time, but you need water. You can actually die if you don't drink water. So apply some wisdom here, if you would. The Bible does not include many how-to details about fasting. Why? Because it was common knowledge in the day of Scripture for people to fast. They did this a lot. But I've helped you this morning. If you take your program, inside the program, there's some blue sheets. There's some how-tos there, some helpful hints on how to actually do a fast and live. Okay? So that's a normal fast. Let me give you a partial fast this morning. See, the normal, I don't know how many times I've fasted, a week, 2 weeks, maybe longer, shorter, you know. You can do without food. You need to drink water. But a partial fast is a little different. This is to abstain from selected items that represent areas of struggle or danger in your life. In the book of Daniel, we see that Daniel wrote, he said these things: I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. Daniel 10:3. You need to know that in the years earlier in his youth, Daniel and his friends, They basically were vegetarians. And they rejected the unlimited buffet of royal delicacies that was available to them. For them, every meal was a tangible reminder. Every time they'd eat food, it was a reminder that they worked for the king. And they had a higher calling, not the national king, but the King of Kings. And this is often referred to as the Daniel fast. It's a partial fast. One might abstain from sweets, desserts, maybe drink only juice, or fast from the news, maybe fast from entertainment. Can I say even your phone? Partial fast. Hey, by the way, it's not going to kill you to fast from your phone. Partial fast can help us discover what we are allowing to consume, what is allowing to consume our daily appetites. And these crowd out our hunger for God. So I've already given you two things. One, a normal fast. Number two, a partial fast. Number three, an absolute fast. Let's talk about that. This is to abstain for a relatively short time from all food and water. Buckle in. After Saul, you remember Saul, who later became Paul, the apostle in the Bible, he had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Let me read the scripture that goes with that. He was struck blind, and the Bible says he then fasted. Look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 9. And for 3 days, he was without sight. He was blind. Some form of glaucoma came over him. That is, he encountered Jesus and the light of Jesus in his life, and his eyeballs couldn't take it. And so he was blinded. But the Bible says as well that he fasted. Let me read. And for 3 days he was without sight, neither ate nor drank. Highly unusual. Let me go to Ezra in the Old Testament. He mourned over the exiles of Israel. In Ezra chapter 10 and verse number 6, it says there he spent the night, 12 hours, I assume, neither eating bread nor drinking water. So an absolute fast should include, I think, if you have some health concerns, a doctor's recommendation. It's a serious fast. It's you're dropping food, you're dropping beverages, including water. It's tricky. And it should be limited to a brief period of time. So I've given you a normal fast. I've given you a partial fast. I've given you an absolute fast here. Let me give you a fourth and we'll be done with this. A corporate fast. This is where we are heading this coming weekend. The church together, the corporate body, the family of God, joining our hearts to pursue God. And in addition to pursuing him in prayer, we will fast and deny ourselves some things physically so that we can see the heavens opened and God pour out for us what he wants in the next months to come. A corporate fast. This fast is to fast according to one of these methods that I've offered you here this morning, but also to be in agreement of purpose with other believers. There's a lot to be said about being in agreement with one another. And I don't have the time to expand that, but I'll give you an example. A church facing a clear challenge, or maybe a crisis, declares a fast for the whole church, or calling the people to a new level of spiritual awareness. You see, when Queen Esther in the Old Testament was preparing to risk her life to intercede for the Jews of that day, she wrote to Mordecai, her uncle, and she said, "Go gather all the Jews. The time has come to gather all these Jews in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf. Do not eat or drink for 3 days. Night or day." She then says, "I'm going to rally the women that are around me, and my young women will also fast as you do." And if you know the outcome of that story, there was a divine intervention. God moved on the heart of the king. He had a change of attitude. And the insurrection that was about to happen didn't happen. Haman, the leader of that insurrection, was literally hanged for what he's about to do. And Mordecai, a Jew, steps up to the plate, and the king of Persia replaces Haman with Mordecai. And now you have a new day, a new hour in the history of the Jews. I believe that God wants to unpack for us new opportunities in Grays Harbor. But we can't do that in our own strength. We need the might and the power of the Lord to be amongst us. Now, I need you to know that our prayers go before God. But when we fast, it creates for us a hunger for God like we've never seen before. And I would like to suggest to you, throughout history, when the going got tough for God's people, the tough started to fast. And let me wrap this up by saying our corporate purpose is to encourage a hunger for God. Throughout this week, I want to see that increase in our lives. Why fast, you ask? Because it can ignite our heart desire for the Lord. And how to fast? Well, as the Bible prescribes, with a dose of common sense. But here's the real question. Will we fast? And that question is yours alone. Will you fast? You've got a few days to prep for these prayer moments. You got a few days to prep for how you're going to actually fast and create a hunger for God. So I'd like to invite you to our yearly prayer time, and perhaps you can join us in fasting as well. Select a fast that you can participate in. One that you can get in a rhythm with. And then we're believing for God for a fresh anointing, a fresh blessing, a clear vision for this year, and a greater unveiling of His purposes to us as a people. How many can open your hearts to that? I want you to stand to your feet with me. We're going to have the worship team and Erica come. Wrap up this time. Erica's going to share with us a fresh new song. But I want you to make application to your life today. Because we're going somewhere as a church. We're not just pointing the car to the outskirts of Aberdeen and hoping we get somewhere. We need to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. We need His impartation in our life. And when we sometimes find ourselves wandering, we need the Lord to bring us back on course. Erica has been so good to have you with us. How many have appreciated Erica? Come on. Come on. Thank you, Erica. Share with us this song, Erica, and grow us in our pursuit of God.
This is a great New Year's song. Should nothing of our effort stand, no legacy survive, unless the Lord does raise the house in vain, its builders strive. To you who boast tomorrow's gains, tell me, what is your life? A mist that vanishes at dawn. Oh, glory be to Christ. Oh, glory be to Christ, our King. Oh, glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing.
Christ.
So I have a question for you. The question is simply this. Has your resolve to be a man, a woman of God, increased? And do you, second question, have it in your heart to embrace what it takes to be such a person for God? Come on. That means we're getting serious about the journey that God has us on. And I can't imagine what 2025 is going to look like. Prophetically over this church, as recent as last month, in another county, a prophetic statement was made that come February of this month, we're going to see such an increase. The hunger for God in this county is ramping up. I'm here to tell you, there are not enough buildings to house the people that God wants to bring in His kingdom. If this church is way too small, it's already too small. There isn't a church on the harbor that can house the harvest that God wants to bring. The church is advancing. And we are the church. Only a part of the church. But the church is advancing. I want you to lock into the vision that God has for us. And with renewed purpose, I want you to identify as a people of God. Erica, you got to do that again. Come on. We got to have purpose to the people of God of which we are.
Can we sing it?
Absolutely. Come on. Give it here 100%.
Behold, our God shall live with us and be our stay.
Having you with us. We love this gal, love her family. And do you appreciate...
I was married in this church.
Yeah.
It's always special for me to come
awesome.
Here.
Do you know that Erica and Matt were married in this sanctuary?
17 years ago.
How many?
17.
Wow. Come on, come on. How many would like her to come back? Awesome. We're going to wrap up here. Some of you may be struggling still. We have a prayer team that's awesome that will pray for you and with you and stand with you. So I'm going to invite the prayer team to come. And as we break out of 2024 and break into 2025, I want you to increase your faith. Believe God for the impossible, because He's capable of doing amazing things in your life and through this church, not only this church, but the body of Christ in Grace Harbor. So God bless you. Thank you for being here. You've got some kids to pick up throughout the building. Don't leave them here. Go get them. And if you have a need in your life, come and get prayed for this morning. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.